You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 1990 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the fifth class in a series given by Brother Russ Brierley on the subject, Praising God Through Music.
First of all, I'd like to state that I said there were four chants in the in our hymn book, and Brother Stan pointed out that I had missed one. There are five chants that are still in the hymn book, and there's one that's kind of separated from the group, and that's number 12. Secondly, I had wanted to mention, when we did the part on the Christadelphian hymn book and overlooked it, I had wanted to mention that there is a reprint of four or five articles done by Brother John Morris, the entire series of articles that he did on the Christadelphian hymn book. And there is a reprint available in our library, and that's called With Heart and Voice. And I believe this was in the 1990, very recent Christadelphian. And one thing that I'd like to do now, so that it doesn't get away from me, there's a number of people that I would like to just thank for their various contributions that they have made to this class. In some of the materials that had to do with the Christadelphian hymn book basically were put together by Sister Cynthia McGill. And a lot of things, I got an envelope from Sister Barbara Booker, and with all kinds of good information in it. And I'd like to thank her. I'd like to thank Nancy for accompanying us throughout both the individual singing and the congregational singing during the class. The individual singers, Val, and the thank you, and the group that the Spanish singers. I'd like to thank them for the very many brothers and sisters that have made extremely helpful comments and thoughts. And I'd like to thank you all for inviting me this year. It's been a wonderful, wonderful experience and a wonderful school. I've enjoyed doing the class, and I've enjoyed the wonderful fellowship of each and every one of you. One more thing I would like to mention, and that is relative to the various hymn books in other languages. And Brother Barling is working with a group that's working on a French hymn book. And I'm quite interested in this. There's a sister in our ecclesia, I think, that would be quite interested in this activity. So if your forte is French, there's a work going on right now in the compilation of a hymn book. I kind of call this kind of fun day, because I think we are going to have a little bit of fun a little bit later on, but we're going to have a serious message for us, a very serious message, and that has to do with the singing of our hymns. And we'd like to have just a few words on that first. Now, mental laziness is something that just seems to set in whenever we get to singing a hymn. And here are some figures to think about a little bit. Now, the average hymn of four stanzas, if we were to read it silently, depending upon how fast or how slow we read, if we were to read it silently, it would take about half a minute. If, on the other hand, we were to read it aloud or to sing it, it would take about 2.5 minutes, or five times as long. And our minds, unfortunately, being what they are, quite free to roam where they wish during that 80% of the time that it takes to sing a hymn. And so we've got to exercise our minds to focus on those words and to stay with the words, discipline ourselves to fill that 80% of the time in between with thoughts that relate to the words that we sing. Now, I'd like to read just two or three readings, and I hope you don't mind the readings, because people like Brother Tennant and Brother Rogers and Brother Whitaker can so capably express these thoughts. And so I have just a couple of readings that have to do with our singing that I'd like to share with you. And the first one is from Ye Servants of the Lord by Brother Tennant. And it's from a chapter entitled, As Well the Singers as the Players on Instruments. And Brother Tennant says this, There is but one organist, but almost all of us sing. How do we sing? The ideal should be, I will sing with the understanding also. It is strange to think that although we sing the words, we still might sing without the understanding. We can be carried away by the melody and not notice what we are singing. He dies and leaves them all behind, as though we were sending a bride and a bridegroom on their honeymoon. It is possible, even in our singing, to hear the words, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Let us try, then, to capture the spirit of the words, singing with grace in your hearts, and singing and making melody in your heart. That is where the melody should be. The purpose of our singing is not merely to give us a change of attitude or to provide those with reasonable voices an opportunity to show others what they are like. Singing is a continuity of our worship. I will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise unto the Lord God of Israel. That is our purpose. If we keep in mind this purpose, we shall harness the music and words to that service. Our desire is to come before His presence with singing. Let us sincerely try to achieve it. If our thoughts are linked to the words, keeping the music in second place, we shall respond to the bursts of praise and to the quiet prayers of contemplation. And Brother Harry Whitaker has just a short passage from his book, Reformation, on doing our very best. And when we approach God, when we approach our Heavenly Father, everything we do should be our best. Listen to Brother Harry. The singing of hymns and anthems has always been and always will be a vital part of our ecclesia services. Then it goes without saying that there is a responsibility upon all to see that this element in our worship be made as much as possible an honor to God and a help to all who participate. In all respects, our devotions must be the best we are capable of. There is to be no easygoing tolerance of inferior standards unless these are past mending. I think we all know Brother Harry well enough, we can just hear him say those words. Singing is a tremendously deep and emotional experience. And just one more reading from Brother Norman Rogers. And this is the introduction to the little series of books that was being used last night, the Sing Hosanna books. That hymns are songs of worship, and that worship suggests reverent homage or service to God, few would deny. Yet frequently the singing of such songs is regarded merely as an adjunct to worship, when in reality it forms one aspect of its very essence. True worship is not confined to any place or mold. The emphasis of the New Testament is upon the depths of sincere experience on the part of those who engage in it. That which is acceptable to God is a worshiping in spirit and in truth. an idea which in the context of the fourth gospel broadens rather than narrows the horizons. Worshiping in spirit suggests the submission of every thought and feeling to the divine will. And when this concept is applied, it exalts this act of praise to the highest level. How often do we match our hymns with our readings? On the little handout we have, I have a list that I came across many, many years ago. And I'd like to share that with you, and it does a reasonably credible job of matching our hymns with Bible readings. Now, on behalf of the organists, of which I am one, we don't always know the entire book, so this has to be used with a little bit of care. But perhaps if you've never come across from this, I think it's a wonderful little work that somebody did. I don't really know how I came across it, but it is a correspondence between readings and hymns, and perhaps it's something you might be able to use in the future. There's one other concept I'd like to talk about. How many of you in your ecclesias have a consistent problem with quieting the ecclesia down before the service? Show of hands. I think every ecclesia I've ever been in has always had that problem. Our tradition is not to walk into our buildings as if we were walking in a place where somehow God is more there than he is in other places, and therefore reverence is demanded. We have a tendency to just gather together and want to exchange as much information, filled with joy, and there's nothing wrong with this, and constantly, seems to me we spend half our time at business meetings talking about the problem of quieting the congregation down and putting it in a proper attitude for worship before the service. Well, one ecclesia, I'm told this comes from Sydney, Australia, one ecclesia has a silent hymn before its service. And at a particular point in time, 11 o'clock or whatever time, the presiding brother will stand up and simply announce our silent hymn is hymn number 161. And the organist will then play the hymn. The brethren and sisters will just simply follow it in their book. Now, just an idea, take it along. Perhaps you might find some application for it. The next section that we're going to take a look at is an area that I call mix and match. And it's putting a little bit of variety into perhaps some of our hymns. And I'd like to tell you a little story. And I think you're all familiar probably with the tune of hymn number 8. For evildoers fret thou not thyself unquietly. Okay, well, after I finished my schooling in Southern California and had attended 5 Bible schools that year, Boulder Creek, Silver Star, Calaveras, a Grants Pass campaign, and Idlewild, spiritual indigestion, it was a little bit too much. I went, in all this enthusiasm, I went and spent a number of months in Jamaica. And I remember the Lancers Bay Ecclesia and one sister in particular, Sister Mac. And when it came time to play the Breaking of Bread hymn, it was 172, and I started to play, and according to thy gracious word, and Sister Mac said, you got to understand, they're very formal in some ways, but in other ways, she said, Brother Ross, that's not the right tune. No, how does it go? Okay, well, it's according to thy gracious word before thine agony. Okay, so there we go. And hymn number 8. Well, then we come to another service in the morning, and we have the morning tune, hymn number 311. And I started playing the tune. Once more the sun is beaming bright, once more to God we pray. And I started playing the tune. And all of a sudden, Sister Mac, Brother Russ, that's not the tune. What is it, Sister Mac? Yeah. Once more the sun is beaming bright, once more to God we pray. So we came to the evening lecture. And the hymn was 257. I figured, no way. No. I heard the voice of Jesus say, and you know, that's the one where we change gears halfway through. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. So, started playing it away. Sister Mac, Brother Russ, that's not the tune. What is it, Sister Mac? I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. The key, and I'm not so sure the Lancers Bay Ecclesia understood it, but they put it into practice. The key is on your handout, and it's the metrical index of tunes. Now, unfortunately, this metrical index of tunes did not come from the hymn book we're all using. It came from the prior edition because it was never done. Or if it was done, it's not published, to my knowledge, in our book. Our book does not have any more the metrical index of tunes. However, we still have most of the tunes, and this is an arrangement of our tunes. So you'll have to use the tune index in our book if you wish to use this at all. But you just take your song or your poem and just beat it out in metrical. Just beat out the number of beats that the poem has, and you can match it to the music. Sister Eunice had asked me to find a hymn to put the words, the theme of the Bible school at Great Lakes this year. And the theme was, they shall mount up as with wings like eagles. And they wanted a hymn. Now there is a praise song available that we could have used, but they wanted a hymn. So we matched it up with a hymn in our book, and it worked out quite well, and that's the way you do this. So perhaps this metrical index of tunes, and it allows you to take a tune or a poem or a one hymn and sing another one to it. Now what I'd like to do is for us to open our hymn books to hymn number 98. Now, 98 is a beautiful, beautiful hymn. The thought just expresses an entire lifetime. There's a progression here through youth on into maturity, then into old age, and then finally the final years of winter. And it's an absolutely lovely hymn written by a Christadelphian. But the tune, and this will give me a chance to, as I look over here, I never noticed this, but the tune, I was told that it's not Chichester, it's Chichester. There we go, thank you. So I've been absolutely murdering that, I guess. But this tune is very, very difficult to sing. There's a lot of intervals in it, and it makes it very difficult, and it's high. And one time, I was doing something at Catonsville, and I absolutely wanted to use this hymn. And I'd sent up in advance asking the sister if she could please learn it. And when I got up there, she said, no, we sing it for something different. So I said, well, what do you sing? How do you sing it? And she told me, and it's absolutely beautiful. So let's sing this now. And maybe if you could just give us a short introduction. And let's sing the first and the last verses. I think you'll probably recognize the tune. In the bud of early springtime, in the days of early youth, when the heart is fresh and tender, Lord, impress us with thy truth. Teach us how to shun evil. Teach us how to love the right. Ere the days of evil sadden, lead, O lead us in the light. Last verse. And when winter comes off dreary, seeming far away from spring, when health fails and men grow weary, yet may we be glad and sing, glad because of coming glory, when forever troubles cease. For we know the blessed story that the endless peace. Face to face with Christ my Savior. And what we have is I've included in this a number, in your handout, I've included a number of our hymn tunes that can be put to other ones. The hymn number 90, Father, we thy children bless thee, and 251, Hear what God the Lord hath spoken. These can be sung to What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Thou Hidden Love of God, Faith of Our Fathers. Jesu, joy, thou joy of loving hearts, just as I am. There's a number of tunes that everybody is familiar with that our hymns can be sung to. And sometimes there's a better match with some of these tunes than there is with the music we have. So, I just included this, and it does tell you down on the bottom, for example, words of LM hymns. That's a meter. And you can look at your metrical index and find the LM meter and see all the hymns that are of that particular meter that you can sing that hymn to, or all the tunes. And now, it's very interesting, you know, George Booker wrote his poem on the Song of Solomon. He wrote it basically to the tune of Amazing Grace, but you'll notice that all CM hymns can be sung to Amazing Grace, as we demonstrated a group of us last night as we sang Crimmond, The Lord's My Shepherd I'll Not Want, to Amazing Grace. And vice versa, what you can say also, that Brother George's hymn can be sung to any CM metered hymn. One more thing that I'd like to just touch on is basically the choruses. Now, we really don't have any choruses in our book. We don't use choruses. But I bet there's at least one that everybody knows, and that is God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Now, it just seems that it has become very common usage. That whenever we sing, not all the time, but whenever many times when we sing God Be With You Till We Meet Again, we at least sing the chorus once. Well, recently I learned of another one, and I think this came out of the Suffolk Street book, if I'm not mistaken. So let's open our hymn books to 270, and let's sing the first and the last verse, and I'm going to introduce you to the chorus. And it's really very, very simple. Why don't we just play the chorus here? Christian, walk carefully. Christian, walk carefully. Christian, walk carefully. Danger is near. So let's sing the first and the last verses of hymn number 270 with the chorus after each one. Christian, walk carefully. Danger is near. On in thy journey with trembling and fear, snares from without and temptations within, seek to entice thee once more into sin. Christian, walk carefully, Christian, walk carefully, Christian, walk carefully, danger is near. Verse 4, Christian, walk hopefully, sorrow and pain cease when the haven of rest thou shalt gain. Then from the lips of the judge thy reward, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Christian, walk carefully, Christian, walk carefully, Christian, walk carefully, danger is near. Like I say, I'm not absolutely sure where that did come from, but I think it was in the Suffolk Street book. Choruses can add an awful lot to it. I do wish that we really had more in our book. The next item I'd like to go to is little different styles of music. And I'd like to just take a look at a genre of music that has enjoyed a certain amount of popularity amongst us, and it's called a scripture praise song. And this was quite a few years ago, and it was, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. And I thought, really, at that time, I thought that that was something that they had come up with that was unique to the Garfield Ecclesia, but it really wasn't. It was kind of the beginning of the scripture praise song. And there's a few things about the scripture praise song make it unique. The words are most always definitely straight out of Scripture. They're scriptural words almost all the time. Secondly, the words are very definitely of a praise nature. And I think we've been able to see the difference as we progress through the week. And the third point is, they're a very simple tune, and they're sung a number of times. And that's the little Spanish corito that we sang is really, in effect, a scripture praise song. They're not just sung once. They're sung a number of times. And they're really more fitting for either small group gatherings, gathering around the piano, or for campfires, or individual worship. And it kind of pertains maybe a little bit more to the instruction, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. And you can almost walk down the street singing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, where you find it perhaps a little difficult to recall the structure and the meter and the words of hymn 115 or whatever. And I really am a little bit puzzled as to perhaps why there isn't a greater use of the scripture praise song. And I think perhaps it is by areas. I think perhaps when we to talk about Sharon Woods, I think that we would find a great deal of use around the campfire of the scripture praise song. They found very limited acceptance in Virginia amongst the Brotherhood. Let's just listen to one of these we're going to listen to a couple of them. The first one is Thy Loving Kindness. Why don't you just let it run right into the next one? This is a Whoso Offereth Praise, which is a medley. Well, as you can see, it's definitely music that has a beat with words right straight from the scripture and a simple tune. And again, it's sung a number of times, and it's not the type of music that we would ever think of introducing into our Sunday morning services, but it gives us a chance in our small group settings to praise God and to praise Him in this manner. I think it's wonderful music. I'd like to see us use it a little bit more. I have one more genre of music, and I really am not going to comment on it, other than to say that, and that's contemporary Christian music. I got to admit, I have just a little bit of mixed emotions about it, but I can say that watching a teenager
go through those frightful years, and seeing that teenager getting tremendous, tremendous strength and help from the contemporary Christian music is, to me, enough in itself to say that there is a very that there is a value to it. And I, beyond that, I'm just not going to comment at all. I'm going to play a piece of contemporary music for you, probably one of the best known, and just commend it to each one of you individually as it meets your needs. And to many, a young person and older person, there is some beautiful music in contemporary Christian. This is, of course, if I were to choose anybody, I would choose Amy Grant, and that's what we've done. Amy Grant and Thy Word is a Lamp. So we come to the end, and I'd just like to kind of summarize very briefly what we've looked at this week. We've taken a look at music in general and seen the effect that it has upon and the power that it has upon us. We've enjoyed that wonderful occasion of the bringing of the Ark up to Jerusalem, and the singing and dancing and the just a wonderful, joyous, praiseful occasion that occurred at that time. And then we've looked at the threefold charge, and I hope that each of us is looking at our prayers and looking at our hymns in that context and in that light. The threefold charge that was given to the Levites: to make petition, to give thanksgiving, and to praise. And then we went through a little bit of a search for historical authenticity. It took us into some representations of different kinds of music, the Chichester Psalms. A representation of a hymn that was the veritable melody that Miriam sang through the synagogue and the trope signs, the tamim, and on into the presentation of Suzanne Haik Bantura. And I leave it to you to pick up the string. And there's a young sister from Washington that is going to Israel that I hope will do that. And share the information that what we're able to find out about the veracity of Suzanne Haik Bantura's claim. And we've looked a little bit at other styles of music, the scripture praise song, and singing and enhancing our own hymns, and the Christadelphian hymn book, and the different styles of music that we have within the hymn book, and the history of the hymn book. I'd just like to ask two or three questions relative to our music and to leave us with a few questions relative to music in general. How involved should we really become in music? Is it possible to become too involved in music and to get away from the Word? Or is that impossible as long as we're praising God? As long as our music is directed to God, can we become too involved in it? And what about the music majors? Going back to my generation, I think there was one young sister, my wife's age, that had a tremendous, tremendous amount of concern about going into music. And I think people do today. I think it's given an awful lot of thought, but we have a lot more music majors today. My son is starting at Ithaca College this year as a music major. And we have a recent graduate here with us today. And there are a lot more music majors than there were before. Are we providing an outlet for these talents? Are we giving them a chance to be able to use what they've learned in the service of the Lord? I'd like to encourage that. I'd like to encourage us to think of various ways that our worship can be enhanced and that we can utilize this tremendous talent that is coming up in the brotherhood as a result of people studying professionally the subject of music. And just one more question that was raised the other night as we watched the videotape. I think there is a tremendous opportunity to reach the brotherhood through the VCR. I just noticed the extent to which we were all mesmerized in front of that screen. And unfortunately, we get too mesmerized by the stuff which is being fed to us by the networks and the cables. And most people have a VCR recorder. And if the good quality tapes were available with our message in song, they'd be played and they would be used and cherished and loved. And perhaps that is the area in which we're going to be able to take these talented music majors and put them together with those of us like Sister Allison Purden, just blessed with an unbelievably beautiful, sweet voice, and put it all together to be a strength to each of us. So in closing, I would like us to open our hymn books to anthem number 38. Blessed, blessed be Jehovah. And if we could all stand, please. And I'd like us to close our eyes and just go back to the very time
to go back to the very time of the temple itself, and we're all, even back further than the temple, we're going to go right back to the time that Brother Barling took us to this morning, to the time of the tabernacle. And we're all gathered outside, and everything is tremendously quiet, and all we can hear everything is still well. Everything is well. Soon he'll come out. And then all of a sudden, through the tent doors, he emerges. And we hear these words. Joyously, we all respond. Blessed, blessed be Jehovah, Israel's God to all eternity. Blessed, blessed be Jehovah, Israel's God to all eternity. Let all of the
praise and our thanks, and if we have not sung as well as your people in ancient times, accept it from our hearts, Heavenly Father, for we do thank you and praise you and ask you to bless each one of us, for we are your children, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.